are on Samach Amud Beis, the last three words of the page. Samach Amud Beis, 60b, the last three words on the page. Gabe Hegdish Tan. This Mishnah applies to Hegdish. Has nothing to do with our Mishnah directly. But we're trying to prove, to figure out a point. The Gemara is going to give contrasting halachas, one by Hegdish and one by Sale, and try to figure out, by Kedushin, when a guy makes a condition, which rules does it follow? The Hegdish rules or the Sale rules, as we will see. So the background to this is a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Masechtas Erchin, HaMagdish Adeo B'Shas HaYevo, if somebody donates his field, now when it says his field, it means Dei Achuza. In those days, you didn't own a field that you bought, because Yevo went back to the owner. So when you own a field totally, it means it was inherited from a person's relative, and that becomes his permanently. So if somebody is Magdish his field,
what do you mean
to say that? What? A land of his share in Eretz Yisrael. His achuza means share. This is his share, meaning if somebody buys a field, this is not his share. He acquired something. In the days of Yovel, it was only a rental, a long-term rental to Yovel. That's all it was.
The initial guy inherited that's
right. The guy who inherited it means, so if Reuben inherits from his father Yaakov, or inherited from his father Yitzchak, or inherited from his father Avraham, this is Reuben's day achuza. Now, what happens over years is, again, usually, this does not have to be, Avraham had six kids, that's with his achuza, and those kids had 36 kids amongst them that split the same achuza, and the next generation had another 6 times 36, which is 216, and they split that stay achuza. So obviously the stay achuza's portions get smaller over time by the fact that there are more people inheriting that stay achuza. But that's not negated, Gemara. It just happens to be a fact. Yes, Doctor. Again, I'm talking about today, a sale is permanent.
No, exactly.
Okay, that's all I was trying to do. I'm not talking about Yemais HaMashiach. Mention we will find out next week. Can't find out today. Elio didn't come yesterday. The Gemara says in Erev, and Elio has to come the day before. And Elio doesn't come on Fridays, the Gemara says, because he's going to disturb our potato kugel. That's what Rashi says. And Rashi doesn't say those words, but that's what Rashi says. We have to prepare for Shabbos. When Leo shows up, he'll mess up the preparations for Shabbos, so we can't come on Friday. So, yeah, again, but the bottom line is, it's not negated today. That's all I was trying to mean.
Okay.
In those days when there was Yevo. So, Magdish Adeo B'Shas HaYevo, Noisim B'Zera Chaim R'Sairim, Chamishim Shekel Kesef. The redemption price was not subjective. It did not depend whether you had the best field in Eretz Yisrael or the most unworthy field in Eretz Yisrael. Anything that was plantable, you paid the same price, which is for 49 years between Yovel and Yovel, right? Because Hegdish only gets it to Yovel, and at Yovel it goes to the Kahanim. So I'm not getting involved in Machlokes in Erech, whether that happens or not. That's not the issue we are here. So for 49 years, if you magdish it the day after Yovel and redeem it the same day for money, you pay 50 shekel kesef for a size that you plant a core of barley. That's the thing. It's prorated per year, per size. If it's a bigger field, it's going to be more. If it's a smaller field, it's going to be less. And depending on how many years left to Yovel will depend on the price. If you want to know the exact number per year, the Gemara says it's a shekel and a punjin. 50 shekel over 49 years splits up to one shekel per year and a fraction. That fraction is a coin called a punjin. Not negayat, it's Gemara, but that's the fact. So, Magdish Adeo B'Shas HaYevo, Naisim B'Zera Chaymer Sairim, in the place where you can plant, Chaymer is a core. 30 saw of barley, chamishim shekel kesef. Rashi, b'shas hayayvul, b'zman shayayvul nayeg. Shekol sade achuza, b'jay neshava. All stay achuzas are the same amount. Achas yofa, b'zeres hakosef. Achas yofa, whether it's high quality, achas ro, whether it's low quality, ab b'zman she'en hayayvul nayeg. But when there's no yayvul, like, unfortunately, tough at this point, tough Shimpei Dalit, Nivdim Bishabjan, they're redeemed at their subjective value. If somebody were to be Magdish, please don't be Magdish. If you're Bizman Azam, it only makes problems. But in the case where there was no Yaibu, like Bayesheni, according to Tysus Shita, or Rashi Shita, I mean, just Rashi Shita, and other times that there was no Yaibu, at that point, this halacha of having a flat rate redemption was dropped. It's based on the Pesukim.
It was a hectish field. What was
somebody donated it to Hektish.
Okay.
If there's no Yaibu,
what's the redemption?
Whatever the price in the market for this field is.
Redemption, I want to
pay Hektish for the field.
Buy the field.
The person, see, let me explain something. Hektish doesn't need fields. Hektish is not in the agricultural business. Everything given to Hektish, except for Karbanas and things like that, goes into a pot called Beta Kabayas and is tried to change into cash as fast as possible. Hegdish's interest is money to run the Beis HaMikdash. That's their interest. They're not interested in fields or in tables or in chairs. They're not interested in that. They want money. So somebody donates a field to Hegdish, they're not interested in the field. They want money. They go back to the guy and say, do you want to buy it back for yourself? If he says yes, there's a flat rate price. If he says no, they put it out on the market, whoever wants to buy it for that flat right price. And whoever buys it keeps it to Yaibu. And if the guy doesn't buy it back himself, and this is a side halacha, it goes to the Kahanim in Yaibu. If he buys it back, he keeps it permanently to stay Achuza. If he doesn't buy it back, somebody else buys it, he gets first dibs. Hegdish comes to him and says, do you want to buy it? If he says no, Hegdish puts it out in the market. If somebody buys it, that buyer keeps it to Yaibu, and that Yaibu goes to Kahanim. It's one of the Matnas Kahunim. And it becomes theirs permanently. But this is not the Gei Arsugya. What the Gei Arsugya is, a guy is Magnish in the time of Yaibu, there is a flat redemption price. The bright Mishnah adds, Hayu Nikoim Amukim Asara. There are pits in the ground, there are probably crevices, I don't know what Archcore uses.
Clefts,
okay. In the ground at a tabukum saratwachim. I slow him gvayim asaratwachim. Or there are rocks that are 10 twachim high. Einim dadamima. You don't, when you measure the field, don't count those. We deduct that from the measurement. Mikan and pukas mikan. If it's less than 10 twachim, then nim dadamima. Then they're bottled to the field, and you even measure the place of the clefts and of the rocks. Now, we're interested in the clefts more than in the rocks. And it'll clear the Gemara why in a second. Vavinam Baum, we asked the question. You're telling me it's not part of the field, but the cleft is plantable. And any plantable land is figured out by the same formula. So if you don't want to consider it part of the field, great. But how do you think you're going to redeem the cleft? We're going to measure it, and we're going to use the same formula of 50 shekel kesef for 49 years for a korb, and we're going to prorate it. So the bottom line is you're going to pay the same amount. So what difference does it make if you measure it with the field? Don't measure it with the field. The same formula of redemption. Whether it's part of the field or not makes zero difference, because you're going to measure it and figure out how many square amas this is. Then use your formula that you have, that for 273 times 273 amma square area, it's 50 shekel kesef for 49 years, prorated to the size and to the years, and that's what you redeem it for.
A lot less now.
If it's part of the field, you're also going to pay, you're paying the same amount for this cleft.
That's more surface.
Again, if it's part of the field is bigger. If the field is bigger, the price is more. If you take it away from the field is less. But then you're redeeming the cleft for the same formula. So you're really paying the same amount, because you have to redeem the cleft anyway. Whatever you're saving by not counting a part of the field, that's what you're going to pay to redeem the cleft. Because, again, that's how you redeem a cleft. by figuring out its size and then prorating it, which would be the same as if you include it in the field. No difference.
The price is the same for the class
and
the regular field?
And
the
not
field.
This, again, prorated, it's the same. Let's say the field ends up being 48 shekel. The cleft ends up being 1 shekel. So whether you count it with the field or without the field, you're paying 49 shekel. Because it's the same, you're using the same formula. It's not like one you pay a flat rate and one you pay a subjective rate. Not true. Both are flat rates. Both are the same flat rate. It's just a question of adjusting to size. You don't consider it part of the land. So it's hegdish by itself, and you use the same formula. Maybe you're going to tell me that it's not true, that the only field that gets a flat rate is if it's a base core. But if it's smaller than that, it doesn't count.
So it takes away from the base core.
But it's not true, because you're a minu. So the Maltamid Leimer, why did the Torah say the word tzada? It's an extra word there. It should have said v'machuzasa yagdishes. Why did it say v'mstei achuzasa? To tell me, because you would think it's only if you can plant a base core. Ainly ashegdish binyazeh. Minayin l'rabis lasach. If you, what happens if you magdish a field that can only plant a half a core, or chatzi lasach, or a quarter of a core, or sa, which is a 1/30 of a core, or tarkav, which is a half a saw, which is 3 kav, which is a 1/60 of a core. Chatzi tarkav, which is 1.5 kav, which is 1/120 of a core. La vila roiva, even a quarter of a saw, of a tarkav, which is 3/4 of a kav, which is a 1/240 of a core. Minayin, how do I know you use the same formula? Talmud Lomer Sotah Mikomakom. Today says, no matter what the size of the field is, use this formula. Change it to the size and to the amount of years. But it's not going to make a difference whether it's a cleft or whether it's a flat field. It's going to be the same rate. So what are you gaining by subtracting the cleft? You're not measuring it in the field, so the price of the field will drop. And then you'll pay the same amount that you just saved for the cleft. So why bother? It's talking about clefts that are full of water. They're not plantable. And this halacha of counting of the formula being used per field, per years, is only by plantable land. This cleft in the middle of the field is not plantable. Therefore, if you don't count it towards the size of the field, you will not be paying the same formula. You're redeeming it by its market value. It's a non-plantable cleft. Therefore, it's not plantable. So the Gemara's answer is, it's nothing to do with our sugya, it's just answering, that if the cleft is plantable, there's no gain or loss of subtracting the cleft. But if it's non-plantable, the Mishnah is telling me, do not count the cleft as part of the field, since it's 10 tefachim deep, it's a non-plantable area, deduct it from the size of the field, that will affect what you pay. Now, if you want to redeem that part, you're going to pay subjective value, not flat rate. And therefore, it's going to make a difference in what you pay, because the subjective value of the cleft that's not plantable might be less or more than the flat rate is for that kind of a size of a cleft. Depends on the market. Yes, doctor?
Three questions. There are actually two that I answered one of them. The Gemara just got awfully wordy here. You see any comment?
Didn't see. I didn't see.
Okay.
In fact, I didn't look anywhere. I'm teaching this Gemara and Rashi without having checked all the Achrayim on this, because I thought this Gemara was just going to...
Because if you tell me a
Rova,
I know a lesson.
Again, why the Mishnah has all these cases? I don't know. That's a sugyan erchon. If it is. Yes.
The other is, as far as a cleft, does anyone mention or is going to refer to Erechim as to how do we count them? Because remember, as far as the top of the mountain.
We're not interested in that now. It's a good question. I understand. It depends on the angle. It depends on a lot of things. And it's not a sugya here. It might be a sugya in Erechim. I don't think it is there either. It's more a sugya in Erevin. But, again, I don't know.
I knew you knew the... what I meant. I just wanted to make sure other people did.
Yes. Yeah, Moshe.
I don't know if I heard it or not. The base chord depends on if, let's say if it's near a river.
It's a flat rate.
It's a flat rate no matter where it is.
That's what Rashi said. But before you came in, we learned the Rashi that said that.
Well, let me see just a class. If you have a rocky area, it's not planted either.
Remember, it said the Koim or Sela. So I said the Gemara is going to zero in on the cleft, because Gemara knew the answer to the rock. That's why when I started it, I said the Gemara is leaving the rock alone, because Gemara knew a rock is not plantable. Therefore, the Gemara said, we asked about the cleft, which the Gemara assumed that a cleft is plantable, all you have to do is climb down. That's what the Gemara assumed. The Gemara's answer is, we're talking about a cleft that's not plantable. And now, Zakta Gemara, Daikanami, I can prove it. The Tani Sloim, Dimya the Sloim. It puts cleft together with rock. Gvayim Gvayim. By putting cleft next to rock, it's saying they're both the same. And we know rock is not plantable. We knew that all along. We just thought cleft was not plantable. The answer is this is a cleft. We thought cleft was plantable. The answer is this is a cleft that's not plantable. So it's similar to the rock, which makes a lot of sense. Shmamina. Frech the Gemara. So who cares how deep it is? Bottom line is, it's not plantable. Deduct all areas not plantable. Why does the Mishnah say that it depends if the cleft or rock is 10 tefachim? They're not plantable. And the rule over here we're trying to say is anything that's not plantable doesn't count for the flat rate. And for the Gemara, Hanu Nagni the Aram Mikri, Shidra the Aram Mikri. They're called the basins of the land, I believe Archko will use, or the backbone of the land, meaning anything less than 10 tefachim doesn't have chashivas. It loses its entity to the area that it's in. And therefore, yes, the cleft is not plantable, the rock is not plantable, but it's so small that we don't count it as separate. It becomes, I don't know, how does he translate Nagni? Basins and backbone?
Spine,
okay. Let's catch up with Rashi. A lot of Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Nekoim Kimengumais, it's like pits. So Rashi answers the question that Dr. Schwab asked. I didn't notice it. Even though with the land that's not kasha, Lias Nimdadim Bekarkashava, to be counted like flat land, Lias Katapra Shalahem Nimdad, that we should count the slope. Allah is Becheshman. So forget the slope. But Nigdi should be up in Avshayu. Ignore the slope, but go to the bottom. Granted, you can't count the slope because it's not part of the field, but count it by itself, right? And ignore the slope. From his inheritance, because of a mizdeach uzasa. The Indians say, I would think only if you donate today zera chayim esayrim, the amount to plant a kor. Less a chati kor, tarka chatisa. The lava tarka, by the way, is trei kav, 2 and 1. A saw is 6 kav. And therefore, a trei kav, tarkav, is 3 kav, which is a half a saw. The lava nezri aninu, the kasav hakasav, the pasuk wrote, zera, zera chaymer sairim. Midi the lava nezri aninu, they don't have a flat rate. Ela b'shavya, they're redeemed by value. Dumya the sloim, shistam sela, ain roy lezria, the kashahu. A rock is not plantable because it's hard. Agni the aramiknu, hanikoim kruim agnois hakarka. They're called the basins. Shamayim mismatam l'toichai, because they collect water. What happens is if you have a cleft, the water of the field will gather there like a puddle in a crack in a sidewalk. Put it in basins. Shidu the Arab. Makam asloim, ain lehem shem sloim la'atzmam. We don't call them rocks by themselves. El Hashem HaKarka Im Nikrim. Shidroas HaKarka. They're called the spine of the land. They lose their entity and become part of the land. Whereas if it's Tentuachim, it's not that way. What's not addressed in this sugya, and might be addressed in Erechim, is whether how big that rock is, not high, or how wide it is. Does that make a difference? I believe it is addressed in Erechim, but I didn't look it up.
Based on weight?
Or? Nothing to do with weight. It has to do with volume.
Area.
So 10
fucking
by 10
fucking. I said, we have not discussed any part, just the vertical size. We did not discuss the horizontal size.
Okay. How are they the same size we're talking about here?
10 fucking, same Mishnah. Yes, doctor.
Minor point, which may or may not prove to be relevant, is in terms of rocks, it's areas which cannot be planted. In terms of clefts, it's actually areas which cannot be harvested.
Well, in here, it's waterfall. It can't be planted.
That waterfall is cannot be planted.
That's what the Gemara answered. It's full of water. Dr. Gemara Weiter.
I'm just thinking of the test, like eight questions are going to be on this.
No. Only one. Gabe Mecher. By sales, we have a similar question. I sell you a field. In the field there are rocks. In the field there are clefts. What is the halacha vis-a-vis counting it as, I told you I'm selling you a field of this size. And in the field I want to give you are rocks and clefts.
This is regular.
Sale. We're moving from Hegdish to sale, and we're going to show they have different halachas. This is the halacha by Hegdish. We just read a half an hour of Gemara, or more, and it was just to tell you the halacha of what the halacha is by Hegdish. No questions, no answers, facts. We went through that Mishnah, explained it, and now we have the facts. Now we move to sale. The Mishnah Tanan, Mishnah Baba Basra. I am selling you a base core of land. If there are clefts 10 tefachim deep, 10 tefachim high, they don't count towards the measurement, the area of the land. It's less than 10 tefachim, nimdadimima. The amar mar ukva bar chama, the same mar ukva bar chama who said earlier that it's clefts full of water, said over here, avabishayim alayim mayamayim. By sale, I don't care whether it's plantable or not plantable. You don't count it in the area of the sale. Why? My time up. I'm a rabbi. We should have them write the yitnas me'aisa b'sad ha'akas. You're like a shnai b'shloshim ha'kremes. When a guy buys a land, he wants a flat piece of land. He's not interested in having land that he has to climb down and plant the bottom. That's not what he wants. So even though by Hegdish, it is Hegdish, if it's plantable, and we would use the same flat rate. By sale, even if it's a plantable piece of land, if it's 10 tefachim deep, it's a self-understood thing that the buyer doesn't want to buy that. Therefore, you cannot count that in the area of your sale.
Doesn't he know what he's buying?
He was told he was going to get this a land that's base core. He gets there, and he sees that part of the base core is a cleft.
Did he already buy it?
Again, it's this condition in the sale. It doesn't make a difference. It's written into the sale that he's going to get a base score of land. The Mishnah is telling me he can come and say, I didn't get a base score. And the guy says, yes, you did. He says, clefts aren't counted.
Once he sees the field.
Again, but we're not getting involved in all details. It's a regular case. The guy comes to see the field after he bought it. And he sees there are clefts. He goes back and says, you didn't give me enough field. And the guy says, yes, I did. The Mishnah says, the buyer is right. Even if it's plantable, the same on the Amar that said the case of Hegdish is if it's not plantable, said by Mecher, it doesn't make a difference. Because a guy who buys a field wants it to be even. That's what we see. So now, stop. We have a contrast between the halacha of Hegdish and the halacha of sale. That's all we wanted to do so far. Show you that by Hegdish it's one set of laws, and by sale, it's another set of laws. Because we have an assumption that people that buy fields want a flat piece of land. It's It's a built-in assumption. Doesn't have to be spoken out. It's an automatic deny. Yes. Hekdesh doesn't make tnoim. They get what they are given.
They're buying it from Hekdesh.
No, but you gave it to Hekdesh. Now you're buying it back from Hekdesh.
Maybe not that person.
It doesn't get it again. He's going to measure the field to see how much he has to pay Hekdesh. So plantable clefts, he measures and uses the same formula. If he wants to buy it. If he doesn't want to buy it, he won't buy it. We have to measure the field. So the Mishnah told us we don't measure the clefts. The question was, don't measure the clefts, but if a guy wants to buy the clefts, he's going to pay the same formula anyway. And the answer is it's not plantable. But if it would be plantable, Enochinami, you would measure the clefts if he wants to buy it.
And the difference by?
By a sale, he came and says, I want a base core. Let me try to explain. When he goes to Hekdesh and buys it, Hekdesh measures it exactly before they take money from him.
By sale,
the guy said, I'm giving you a base score. He trusted the seller. They're going to give him a base score. And now he finds out he was gypped. Hekdesh is not out. It's a big difference. The guy who sells the field wants to unload that field. Hekdesh, again. But Hekdesh has a halacha. They have to measure it to know how much to charge. They can't just say it's a base score. They have to go out and measure it before they put it up for the market.
Not by a regular sale.
That's up to the seller and buyer. What happened was the buyer trusted the seller. And the seller gave him a land with cleft. And he says, I kept my deal. By Hekdesh has to go out and buy it, measure it, before they can put it up. They just don't say, there's a field out there, pay for it. They have to go out and measure it to know what to charge. And when they measure it, they're not going to include the cleft.
Who wins in this case? This lie, they doesn't have to pay it. What happens
by
in
what?
Sale?
He doesn't have. He didn't get the base core. So either he gives him more land, or the sale was voided.
Or gives him back money.
Gives back the money.
Whatever the situation is in the Masechta Baba Basra, which you're not getting into.
Now, this. When we see base core, that's because the guy's buying it for planting stuff, right? So I was bothered by something a couple months ago.
Yes. How long ago?
There's a lot of the same thing. I want to build a school there instead. I want to build a...
But if you're not buying it to plant, the whole halacha is different. And I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm not learning about the Basra now.
It's not going to be a good thing, you know what I mean?
So again, all those things will depend on how the sales are done. We're not interested now in learning about the Basra.
But we're doing a good job.
No, we're not. But it doesn't make a difference. I'm just learning what the Mishnah brings here. Yes?
The truth is, it's extremely simple, which is that language-based score means different things in terms of tactician, in terms of a standard sale. But the question I have is, I mean, the language-based core is always defined as the amount of land it takes to plant...
A core of barley.
Exactly. In which case, if we take that as the definition, then it automatically excludes for whatever, or whether it's rocks or unplantable clefts. So we've got a bit of a tautology here, unless we're saying that base core has an alternative meaning as a certain amount of measurement in cubics, feet, or meters, or whatever.
Again, it means the base core of plantable land. Well, the chiddush of that Mishnah Behegdish was that if you have small areas of non-plantable land, they're buttled to the land and they count as plantable. So I'm not sure exactly what you're driving at.
In which case, it should mean exactly the same thing, because we're defined by the term.
Again. The base score for planting and the base score for Hekdesh are both mean a base score. It's a set amount. However, the difference is by Hekdesh, if it's plantable, Hekdesh sells it at the same price, because that's halacha in Hekdesh. By sale, the buyer has a condition built in that what he's buying is flat. It's a side issue.
Yeah,
it's implicit in general conversation.
Right.
And it is not implicit in conversation with Hector.
No, but there is no conversation. That's what I was trying to tell Dr. Harris before. There is no conversation with Hegdish. Hegdish is not selling. Hegdish is doing, measuring it itself. And we're telling Hegdish how to measure your field when you put it out there. Conversations take place between buyers and sellers. Conversation does not take place between Hegdish and the guy that redeems it. Hegdish follows the rules of the Torah. They don't have any conversations with anybody. There's no conditions with Hegdish.
That's my fault because I used the term I should not have used in terms of using conversation. Implicit in the definition for Hegdish and implicit in the definition for general sale are two different things.
Correct.
So they are different words.
Fine.
What's the exact Nakuda, the difference between
Mecher
and Hegdish? Hegdish got the
different
dispensation.
The Nakuda is if you have plantable clefts, Hegdish will sell it at the same formula as they sell a regular field.
It's a mila for Hegdish?
No, it's a halacha.
Okay.
We're not interested in milas and chesroinus.
No, but why?
Because the Torah said any plantable field donated to Hegdish, regardless of size, is redeemed using the same formula. Gzeiras HaKosov. Rashi in the second line, Migzeiras HaKosov. There's no logic to this that I understand, that Rashi understood. The Torah said, I don't care where your field's located, whether it's in East Cleveland or in Beechwood, you're going to pay the same price for the same piece of land. By Hegdish, that's what we're talking about.
Not plantable, that's not.
That is different rules of redemption. You don't redeem non-plantable land using the same formula. But bothered the Gemara was, the Mishnah made it sound that we're not redeeming the clefts of the same formula. And the question was, why not? And the answer had to be because it's not plantable. When we went to sales, we said, I don't care if it's plantable or not. There's an understood condition that when people buy land, they want it on one flat surface. That's all we're doing is contrasting Hegdish and Mecher. We're not interested in asking questions. We're just saying two halachas. The halacha of Hegdish, the halacha of Mecher. This is all background information. We're giving you background information so we can ask the next shayla. A guy tells a woman, Harayat Mukadeshesli, I'm a Nashi Eshli base core of her. And in the base core are clefts. Is it like Mecher? It doesn't have a flat piece of land. Or is it like Hegdish? It's plantable. Doesn't make a difference if it's flat or not. Now, we have to first show you that there's a halacha called Hegdish and there's a halacha called Mecher. So we can now ask the Shaila in our Mishnah. This whole Gemara was to get to this point. We showed you the halacha by Hegdish. We showed you the halacha by Mecher. And now we're asking a question. A man goes to a woman and says, Hariat Mekadeshesli are the condition that I own a base for a plantable land. He shows her a piece of land that he owns. He has a deed. It's a base core, but some of it's in a cleft. Did he fulfill his condition? That's the question. Zakti Gemara. Hachamai. By Kedusha, what is that look? Zakti Rashi. Gabi Kedusha Isha. Im haye by slaim in the kom shiyu tzvachem veinam alayim meyam ayim. They're plantable. Hegdish medamin alay? Is it like Hegdish? Zakti Rashi even im dadim ima? And they're counter towards the base core. Nobody's selling anything here. Nobody's making anything Hegdish. Did he fulfill his condition of showing her that he owns a base core? Rashi Lamecha Madamina Lavainim Dodim. Zakti Gemara Mistabra. It makes sense for Hegdish Madamina Law. It makes sense that we would counter towards the land. Why? Listen, it's my job to harvest the land. Yes, it's difficult. It's a two-layer land. What do you care? The idea was to show you that I own a base core of land that's plantable. I showed it to you. But you care whether I have to climb down to the cleft to harvest it or not? Is that your, like, concern? The lady. He told the lady, I'm marrying. She wanted to hear financial security. She wanted to know that the man she's marrying will have an income. So he says to her, listen, I will marry you on the condition I will show you that I owe a base core of land. He shows her one on two different levels. So he said, so what's he going to say? You didn't show me a base core because it's two different levels? Okay, so I'll let you write a letter to the Gemara. I knew somebody was going to say that.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be somebody else. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I predicted this or somebody else. But it doesn't make a difference.
What if she's the harvester?
See, women are going to go and harvest fields. You're 19. What do you think? You're in 2023? What if she's an it? You know what I mean? We're not dealing with normal people. We're dealing with normal people.
The difference is the delitu by Hechtes or by Necher, they own it. Over here, she's not owning anything.
And that's not the difference. The difference is, did he fulfill his condition? We're interested in law. We're not interested now in... We want to understand, what did that condition require? Did he meet it? Did he not meet it? That's the question. It has nothing to do with ownership.
I know. But it doesn't sound... It sounds like apples and oranges
almost. Again!
I know I'm wrong.
No, you're not right. You have the right to ask a question. By Hegdish, he's not... Hegdish doesn't... is selling it. By Mecher, somebody is selling it. The halakas are different. We want to know, when a guy's fulfilling a condition, what does that condition require him to do? All he said was words. We are interpreting words. Words are very serious. Dr. Schwab likes to say that. Words have meaning. Words mean something.
Why does the Gemara bother going through this?
Because we have to show...
And by Kedushin, it's a whole different ballgame.
Because the Gemara is not sure.
Why do they have to compare it at all?
Because they first have to show you that there's two halakas. If not, why are you...
Maybe it's a third halakha. I don't know.
Is there a third option? Either it counts or doesn't count.
I don't know.
Okay. So the Gemara only knows of two options, and it's showing you that the two options are used in different areas. If the Torah never... If you never found that any of these options are used, then you wouldn't have the Klai Shaila.
There's an option... I haven't gone through this. That's all not. A matana. Someone gives a field as matana. Is that different than a mecher?
No, because a matana, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. We have old you say.
So maybe that's the way the condition says.
But again, he has a condition that he has to fulfill. He's not giving her the land. He's not giving her anything. He's giving her a pruta. And she wants to hear that he is a rich guy, that he has, that he's going to provide income for her. So she wants to know. He has. So he said, you know what? I'm making a condition of my kedushin. I will show you that I'm a wealthy man. She wants to see his bank account. The bank account has a flaw, that it's a multi-level piece of land. So now, halakhically, did he fulfill the condition or not? That's the shaila. So the answer is, in conditions... Logic tells us that she shouldn't care. Now, Dr. Harris asked the question. It's going to take him longer. He won't be home for supper. I have no answer to that question.
Why did you do that?
Bath time.
Yes.
Actually, it's not a question. He'll be home for supper at the same time. People cannot harvest fields after sunset.
He meant to say that it'll be occupied more, take him longer. So he just used this the wrong terminology.
In the end, the amount of time.
Okay, Dr. Mishnevaiter.
How many questions do we have left?
This is where the test goes to.
What?
What?
That's it?
I didn't plan to start the next mission. I have minutes, so we're going to go fight.
Ask someone
a question. Rameyer says, Kol t'nai she'ene k'tnai b'nei g'red ruvein e'ne t'nai. Let me give a background to this Mishnah, so we should understand where we're coming from, because it's not, it's going to be asked 40 times. But I said this many a time, I'll say it again. Without the halacha of the Torah, that you can make conditions, there would be no right to make a condition in any kind of transaction. And transaction is an act. A condition is verbal. Words cannot void an action. It's not an action. It's still words. The transaction is an action. The words are, the condition is verbal. Written or verbal is the same. Halachically, this is a Tysus and Ksubas. Halachically, a Tanai should not work. Came along the Torah and said, you know what? We're going to allow conditions to work. However, the Torah put rules on conditions. You have to meet the rules of conditions in order to activate that condition's work. The question is, how many rules are there in the conditions? Because without the Torah allowing conditions, conditions would be zero. So if you don't follow the rules of conditions, we ignore your condition. It's meaningless, because you have no right to make conditions. The Torah gave you a right to make a condition. You can activate that right.
If you follow the rules.
If you follow the rules. No rules, no conditions. Now here we have a machlokes about a basic rule and condition. Reb Meir says, for a condition to work, you have to speak out both angles, both sides. It's a rule and condition. I haven't said enough. Reb Meir says, you have to say, if you do this, the transaction works. If you don't do this, the transaction doesn't work. We don't allow inference to work, make a condition work. It has to be spoken out. If you do this, the transaction will be valid. If you don't do this, it will not be a good condition. If you don't speak out both sides, the condition is sent to the garbage, and there's no condition on the sale. And Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, who argues, says, not true. You say one side, and we can figure out the other side, and that meets the rules of conditions.
Is he anywhere else in Shas?
What?
Is he anywhere else in Shas?
You have to ask if I should have been left already. Yes?
Society can't impose their own rules and be valid. We don't have halakhas based on what society says. This meaning has this import, this condition has this.
The Torah gave us rules of conditions. Now, can people make their own agreement in monetary things? They can do whatever they want. But that wouldn't be enforceable by a Bezin. It's their own conditions. Let them work it out. I mean, it's not the law.
But if society made the rules...
Again, society can't make a rule. Torah makes rules. Society can say, we don't want to go by the rules. We want to make our own way of doing things. Because it's a hate. But it wouldn't be enforceable unless both sides agree.
Not a basin, but a court could. Whatever that means.
Exactly. Again, these are the Torah rules of condition. For it makes a difference in Kedushin and Gittin where society can't do anything. Society can work in money. Society cannot work in Gittin and Kedushin. If a guy makes a Kedushin with a woman, Amanas, does he have to say, well, Amanas is not a good case. Im.
What?
Im. Guy says, you're Mekadesh is Im if I do this. Does he have to say, and if I don't do this, it's not a good Kedushin. Does he have to meet the law of Tanai couple? Or is it enough to say you're Mekadeshes if yes, and doesn't have to say you're not Mekadeshes if not?
Is that still a Tanai? Or I thought that's a double-sided Tanai.
It's a Machloikas, whether you need a double-sided Tanai or not. That's the Machloikas. Reb Meir says you do, and Reb Chanina ben Gamliel says you don't. Where did Reb Meir get his source? Where did he get this rule that you need a double? That's right. You're right. By monetary things, people can make up whatever they want. But we're not dealing with monetary things now. We're talking about Kedushin, Gittin. Those are not monetary things. You cannot make your own rules for Kedushin and Gittin.
The most they were talking about Kedusha, not...
They were talking money.
They were talking money?
Yeah.
And it still needed a double-sided...
Correct. That's the mayor's source. But they needed it because that was the first time a condition was made on something like that. You're asking me, can society change it? Perhaps. But not in anything else.
Did Yaakov make a double-sided sign when he said, if I'm safe, And I'll give you this.
I have no idea. Wasn't there.
No, why are you going to the aquifer? How about Avram with the Marshall Paywall?
It was no Tanai. He bought it. I don't see any conditions in the Marshall Magbalo. A sale means the guy is masking. That's not a tie.
The city dwellers.
He didn't say, I'm buying him from Ephraim if you're masking. He asked the person, do you agree I should buy you? And they said yes. Now he moved on. There was no condition in the sale. He didn't do the sale and then say, I'll condition their masking. He first got their haskama, then he went to ask Ephraim.
If he wouldn't have said that we're not happy about it, would he have gone to Ephraim?
No. If you want to see Arichos on it, besides Ateres Imi that might talk about it, in Arachai Makadosh, he elaborates that Avram wanted to make sure that there's no way in the world that anybody ever can come and void the sale. And since there's halacha called Bar Metra, that people who live in the neighborhood can claim that they want to avoid the sale, especially if you're opening up a graveyard there. So he wanted to make sure that they're on board before he goes and buys it. Because if they wouldn't be on board, he would have a problem later on. He wanted to avoid later problems. So before he bought the land, he got the agreement of the neighborhood that he can open a cemetery here. He made a hearing in city council. And he got the city council to agree that he has a right to do it. Now he went to the guy that owned the land and negotiated. There was no condition. So then I'm not getting involved now before Matan Torah what the rules is. Avraham Avinu wanted to cover again. Avraham Avinu wanted to cover all his bases. Take a look at the Arachayim. This is not Yitzchak Margaretin. Take a look at the Arachayim HaKadosh, who's Baruch on this, in this week's Varsha. Also, you can buy the Ateres Imi. It's a Sefer HaChumash, and you can find things that are discussed there. Well, that's his.